This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Traditional banking sucks. A bunch of penny pushers with their ties done up to 11, charging you for accessing your own money? No thanks. That's why Chime is changing the way Americans think about banking. They offer fee-free rewarding banking and actually give you something in return for your money, rather than charging you to even look at it. They don't charge overdraft fees or monthly fees, and they have hundreds of free ATMs so you don't have to pay to physically touch your own money. In other words, it's built for you, not the one percenters. Plus, you get 5% cash back on Chime Card on a category of your choice. They even offer a really great savings rate of 3.75% APY. That's 9 times the national average. In fact, Chime members can benefit from over $1,000 of annual rewards fee-free. Friends in the US have told me they've never felt more in control of their paychecks. And who wouldn't want that? Honestly, guys, all of our American friends and most of our American listeners are already using Chime. And so should you. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/redhanded. That's chime.com/redhanded. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on the J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Hello, everyone. By now, you know exactly what this is. This is a roundup of our very best highlights from the last month over on Patreon. If you're not yet a Patreon, you might want to have a listen to this because you are missing out on a shit ton of super great content. This month, we talked, of course, on Under the Duvet, our flagship after-party show, all about Will Smith slapping a certain Chris Rock at the Oscars. We had to do it. It had to be talked about. So that's all over there. We also, on In the News, which is our monthly roundup of all of the most bizarre true crime stories making the headlines, gave you all an update on Miss Sherry Papini and her alleged abduction. If you're not shocked by what we found out, then I don't know what's going to shock you. And then finally, if you want to get a little taster of our full bonus episode that we release every single month for all $10 and up patrons, have a little listen to this, because this month we talked about a very mysterious murder that took place in Antarctica. So enjoy. I'm Saruti.
I'm Hannah, allegedly.
And welcome to
Patreon bonus episode for the month of March. Yes.
Mouch. Well done. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Come on in. The water's fucking icy.
Yeah.
Because this month's bonus episode takes us to a continent where there are no police, no prisons or prisoners, and a continent that has a crime rate lower than any Scandinavian country. In fact, it has the lowest crime rate of anywhere on the entire planet. And many of the residents of this continent even have PhDs.
Is it Iceland that has the most Nobel laureates per capita because there's so few people?
Oh, I didn't know
that. I think
so.
I think it is Iceland.
Oh, but that, if it's per capita, that's massive overrepresentation, because if it's like, that's taking into account the fact that they've got fewer people.
Yeah, so I think it's like maybe they've only ever had two, but because there's so few people.
Oh, I see.
That like,
that's like
the number of...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The other natives of this particular continent, the ones that don't have PhDs, do have wings, but they can't fly. And they're born in tuxedos and are absolutely fucking adorable. And however cute and romantic it might be, and whimsical, their name for this particular bird in Mandarin does not translate to business goose, however much people on Hinge want you to believe that it does. Mm-hmm.
I saw a business goose swimming in South Africa, which was one of the coolest things ever. Because obviously, kind of like the Galapagos Islands, they do have like a special breed of penguin. And they are fast. And you'll just be in the ocean and they'll just come and hang out with you and be like, pew, 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 I'm penguin. Amazing.
They are very cute.
And actually, I spent a birthday several years ago when I was traveling in Torres del Paine, which is either in Argentina or Chile. I can't remember. But camped on the 29th of October. It was absolutely fucking freezing.
Yeah, I bet.
Right next to a penguin
colony.
Fuck me, are those birds loud. They make noise 24 hours a day. It's like they don't sleep or they take it in turns to sleep, but they were very, very loud. So yes, you've guessed it. They are, of course, penguins. And you have probably also guessed the magical utopic land that we are talking about today. It is, of course, Antarctica. And much like its landscape, if you look a little closer at Antarctica, its record isn't quite as pristine as it might first appear. To this day, not a single murder has ever been recorded there. But that doesn't mean that nobody ever got close.
The first violent crime on record in the Antarctic dates all the way back to 1959, and it took place on a Soviet research station known as the Vostok Station.
Immediately, Soviet research station setting for a horror film.
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing that could top it is there's like, and it's a rom-com set on a Soviet.
It's in space.
Set on a Soviet research center.
Yeah. So apparently there was a rather heated chess game between two Russian scientists, and it ended up with one of them attacking the other one with an ice pick. Again, very Russian of them, very Trotsky-esque. That particular stabbing incident, unlike Trotsky, wasn't fatal. But after a KGB investigation, chess games were banned from then on in all Soviet Antarctic stations, which, fair enough.
Though I would say, if you get angry enough to stab your comrade with an ice pick, I think it's probably not just about the chess.
I don't think it's about the chess. I think it's about being so incredibly isolated and in the dark. I think I'd stab anyone after about a week. So when we were reading about this incident, we did sort of have a little think about whether something as inconsequential as a game of chess between two co-workers would have ended in the same way had they not been living together in one of the most isolated and brutal parts of the world. I hate chess. I think it's just invented to make people feel stupid. I'm not very good at thinking steps ahead, which is why I'm terrible at chess and also not very good at Connect Four. But I just like the amount of time it takes to become good at chess. I think is specifically engineered for people to feel smug. I don't like it. Not a fan. Not a fan at all.
I wouldn't say I'm particularly good at chess, but I feel like let them have it. I'm fine with it. So this isolationist theme that's going to be running through today's episode, I think thanks to COVID, we all know now better than ever the impact that isolation can have on an individual's mental health. Everything ranging from depression to confused thinking, delusions, hallucination, emotional instability, and in extreme cases, even outright psychosis can spawn from long periods of social isolation. Now, if you double that up with the harsh conditions of Antarctica, a continent that has just two seasons all year round, summer and winter, where during the six-month winter, the entire continent is in perpetual darkness with absolutely no daylight whatsoever, you might begin to understand how someone could see murdering their co-worker with an ice pick as the only reasonable reaction to losing a game of chess. Especially since studies have clearly shown that when a person's circadian rhythm, the biological system governed by the 24-hour day and therefore light and dark, is disrupted, they can become more likely to exhibit aggressive behaviour.
Oh, 100%. You ever met a new parent?
Yeah, like just let people fucking sleep. Also people who do shift work, I'm like, how do they manage? How do you manage that? Because it's just not, it's not natural. It's not.
And the ice pick incident, the great ice pick chess game of the ages, isn't the only example of this kind of behaviour that we've seen. In April 1984, the Argentine Almirante Brown research station was burned to the ground by the station's disgruntled leader, a doctor who was rather upset when he was ordered to stay there for the entire winter. That would be me.
I mean,
I would burn it to the ground.
I love that we've described him as disgruntled. I'm like,
yeah, it's like just a bit pissed off.
Not like he's just
fed up.
Sent a bit of a pithy email. He fucking burnt his research center down to the ground so he wouldn't have to stay there.
That would be me. Saru sent me a picture the other day of a dog hugging a like pile of snow because Saru loves the winter, loves being cold, whereas I hate it. So I like sent back a tweet that was like, I like to pretend that I'm a really complex emotional being, but actually when the sun comes out, I'm happy. So I'm functionally no different from a large leaf, which is true.
That dog video is so funny. It's just like a ballad playing over this husky laying on top of a tiny little bit of snow that's left in his garden.
So this disgruntled man, who was so disgruntled, he set it all on fire. That meant that the station's personnel had to be rescued by a ship and taken to a neighboring American station about 60 miles away. And as recently as 2018, again on a Russian research station, the Bellingshausen station, a 54-year-old electrical engineer called Sergei Stavinsky stabbed 52-year-old welder Oleg Belozgakov in the chest multiple times. They'd been working together for about 7 months at the base with 14 other people. And during this time, tensions had risen between the pair of them because Oleg liked to wind Sergei up by repeatedly giving away the spoilers to every book that Sergei checked out of the station's library.
That's such a niche dick move.
Oh, it's vindictive, isn't it?
It's just so mean. It's so mean. Like, I don't want a victim blame, but what? Why? Why are you doing that, Oleg? Leave him alone.
Yeah. So it seems that Sergei reached his breaking point at lunchtime when Oleg suggested that he should dance on the table for money. And that's when Sergei lost it, grabbed a knife and stabbed Oleg right in the chest.
Oh, dear.
I know people do get upset about spoilers and I've never really understood it. But I think because like I'm just one of those people where knowing what happens doesn't ruin it for me. So mm-hmm. I don't find it annoying. I've never fully understood why people get so enraged by it.
Yeah, I'd rather not know. I'd rather you not whisper the ending of every book I pick up from.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Pick up every book I pick up from this library when all we have to do is read these
Brad
books
Pitt
that are in
exist.
The library. And I'm like, but I'm probably not going to stab you over it.
What are the like all-time greatest? I mean, The Sixth Sense, obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Fight Club's another obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more. Oh, I've just finished listening to Billy Connolly's autobiography, which I highly recommend, by the way. It's called Windswept and Interesting. And there's a bit in it where he's talking about learning to scuba dive and then talks about like various interactions with sharks. He was like, yo, it's like Jaws, you know, that film where the shark can play the cello.
I love Billy Connolly.
We'll listen to it in Sri Lanka. You'll have a great time.
Amazing. So let's not get ourselves into trouble by giving away more spoilers and let's move on. Fortunately, Oleg, the book spoiler, was flown to a hospital in Chile just in time, and he actually survived being stabbed in the chest multiple times.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens when you're mean and vindictive.
But at the time of the attack, Sergei and the 14 others on the base had just come out of the Antarctic winter, which no doubt had had an enormous impact on their mental health. And mixed with all the alcohol that they'd been downing on a regular basis, it was a disaster waiting to happen. Now, you might be wondering how the law in the Antarctic is handled. We have done on this show many a rundown on the legal systems of many a continent, many a nation, many a city, cathedral, city, whatever. Well, in the Antarctic, it's slightly different. Since there is no government to make the laws and no state has sovereignty over the continent, the Antarctic is subject to a series of international treaties known as the Antarctic Treaty System.
Great.
But to be fair, easy to remember.
Yes, true.
If we were ever going to have to do an exam on the legal system of the Antarctic, presumably one of the questions wouldn't be, what is the treaty system called, the Antarctic Treaty System? But if it was, fucking pass. So the most important of these treaties is the Antarctic Treaty. Again, just such original naming systems here. And this came into effect in 1961. And has since been signed by 54 countries, including the US, the UK, and Russia, presumably the nations that are spending the most time out on the Antarctic. And it's mainly there to ensure scientific cooperation between countries and to outlaw any sort of military operations taking place on the icy continent. But how does the treaty deal with crimes committed there? Well, scientists don't suddenly get to act as law enforcement. No, no, no. Instead, as per the Antarctic Treaty, the person who commits the crime is subject to the law enforcement policies of their home country.
Interesting. Okay.
So kind of like cruise ships.
No, the opposite of cruise ships.
Oh yes. Cruise ships are wherever they're registered.
Unless they're within 6 miles of a country. Something like that. That's just me remembering the Amy Bradley episode that I wrote fucking 5 years ago. So if I'm wrong, you brought it on yourself, listener. So for example, let's have a look at our book spoiler stabber, Sergei. He was imprisoned in a church in Antarctica for 11 days before he was flown back to Russia.
There are churches on Antarctica?
I also thought that, but you know what?
Probably.
Those Christians, man, they get everywhere. They're trying to fucking convert some penguins, you know, etc.
While we're here, let's build a church. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about like a Protestant church, I don't know if it was, but I assume maybe it was, very simple to build.
Yep.
Can knock one of those up in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most other religious houses going to take a bit longer, so they beat you to it.
House. Welcome to my religious house.
Just off the Russian fucking research center. I'd have thought the Russians would have been Orthodox. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, in the 80s, they would have been nothing at all.
Of course. Yeah. That's why they were like, Sergei, to teach you a lesson, we're going to fucking lock you in this god
house. To the church with you. Once Sergei got back to Mother Russia, it was discovered by those having a look at him that he was actually in the midst of a nervous breakdown when he had attacked Oleg. And the judge decided to drop the attempted murder case against him, surprisingly at the request of the stabbee, Oleg, who said he forgave Sergei and believed that he showed genuine remorse, which is extremely nice of him.
I wonder if he was like, you know what? Fair enough.
I deserved it.
I was also having a tough time. We'd been in the dark for 6 months and I was being a right prick.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what? Fair's fair.
At least it's, you know, it's holding his hands up.
Equals pequels.
Equals pequels. And now, of course, a case like this only works if the culprit is caught. And in all the examples we've mentioned of the previous crimes committed on the continent of Antarctica, it's pretty obvious who was guilty. But there's one case that stands out against the others, and it happened in May 2000. And it might well be the only murder to have ever taken place in the Antarctic that we know of. And to this day, almost 22 years on, it remains officially unsolved.
It was the 11th of May 2000, and Rodney Marks was walking back to the main base at Amundsen Scott South Pole Station when he began to feel slightly peculiar. But this wasn't the normal sort of strange feeling that everybody got from adjusting to the minus 62 degrees Celsius temperatures and the 24-hour long nights. The 32-year-old astrophysicist's chest was tight, and he was struggling to breathe. A little later on, his vision started to blur and his entire body began to ache. Rodney assumed that he was likely just exhausted from working long hours and got into bed early, hoping that a good night's sleep might sort him out. He was wrong. Rodney didn't sleep a wink that night, and by 5:30 a.m., he was hunched over his toilet, vomiting blood. That morning, knowing something was definitely very, very wrong, Rodney stumbled to the biomed facility.
He went back there 3 times over the course of the day, and after each visit, his symptoms were just worse and worse. Every bone and muscle in his body felt like it was on fire. His eyes had become so sensitive that he had to wear sunglasses, even though the sun hadn't risen over the base for weeks. It was not looking good for him. His physical state deteriorated, and his mind did too. On Rodney's 3rd visit to the doctor, he was so agitated that he was almost hyperventilating. The doctor, Dr. Thompson, couldn't think of a single medical problem that would be causing Rodney's symptoms, and the only link to the outside world he had was a satellite phone and also an internet connection, both of which were down at the time. The only thing Thompson could think might have been the issue was potentially alcohol withdrawal symptoms, or maybe the astrophysicist's high level of anxiety. So the doctor decided that he was going to inject Rodney with the powerful antipsychotic Haldol, hoping that it would calm him down. Almost immediately after the injection, Rodney's body relaxed and he lay back on his gurney as his breathing calmed down. So it seemed like the antipsychotic had done the trick. But it hadn't. Just a few minutes later, Rodney's heart totally stopped. Thompson then spent the next 45 minutes attempting to resuscitate Rodney, but it was hopeless. At 6:45 p.m. on the 12th of May in the year 2000, Rodney Marks was declared.
I feel like today, should we start by talking about the Oscars?
I like really don't want to.
I know, but I kind of feel like we have to. And I feel like I've also made some notes on it.
I mean, you go off, but like I don't care.
I mean, I also don't care. I didn't care until I saw the fucking shit show. And I was like, well, this is quite entertaining in a really horrible way.
I saw a really great meme that's like whoever like runs the Oscars. With like obviously a picture of a clip of like what happened, and then like SpongeBob and Patrick being like, "We did it, Patrick! We saved the Oscars!" Because like, I didn't even know it was happening until I opened my phone the next morning, and then I was like, "Oh, the Oscars was last night, apparently."
Yeah, no, nor did I. And I generally like actively take pride in not knowing anything about celebrity stuff, But this was quite entertaining. And I feel like we should give the people what they want. Because if we can say that we talked about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock in the face at the Oscars, maybe some more people will listen to this episode.
Everybody does hate Chris.
They do. Well, I don't. I fucking hate Will Smith because that was so embarrassing beyond belief. Like, I hadn't watched the video because I just thought it was like, why are people falling into the hands of all of this fucking Oscars propaganda when it's just like marketing nonsense? I didn't even know what happened. I just saw the stills of him slapping. Everybody was like talking about it on Twitter. I was like, do you people not have anything better to do with your lives?
No.
No, and clearly nor do I, because I spent 10 minutes on it this morning. But I watched it yesterday in front of you while I was having my lunch, and I was like, oh shit, he really fucking slapped him. And I don't think it was planned. I don't think it was a
I've
ploy.
To and fro'd, but I don't know. I don't think it was. I do think
Chris Rock's reaction makes me think it absolutely, and then also Will Smith like just crying after.
Yeah,
which was
just
lots of embarrassingness.
Yeah, he just seemed a bit unhinged, didn't he?
He does. And I think, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about actually, because again, my interest or like my knowledge of any of like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's like life purely comes from the fact that I will watch anything that Dr. Grande makes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And like several years ago when they first had their, like, I think it was in 2015 when Jada Pinkett had her, when she rebranded her affair as an entanglement.
Yeah.
He did like a analysis of the talk show. Well, she has that talk show, doesn't she, called like Red Table Talk or something. I know. They're insufferable. She's insufferable particularly. I can't.
I think Willow's worse than her.
Oh, yes, they're all so bad.
Yeah, I think Willow Smith is probably the most smug person on earth. I can't stand it.
God, they're so awful. And like fucking whatever their son's called posted being like, that's how we do after. I was like, your dad just fucking Jayden. Humiliated himself in front of millions of people. But anyway, so in 2015, I remember watching Dr. Grande doing an analysis of the talk show Red Table Talk mm-hmm. between Jada and Will.
Yes, I've seen it.
And so I watched that and I was like, because like she basically, for anybody who gives a fuck, was basically I want to leave you, apparently. And he was, and Will Smith was like, don't leave, why don't you just sleep with other people but don't leave me. And she was like, all right, that works for me. So then she starts sleeping with that guy.
It's August
for 4.5 years of having in a relationship. And he basically is like, Will Smith gave us our blessing, blah blah blah. And I think Will Smith is just like, ah!
Yeah.
Like he didn't want to. And in that Red Table Talk, I think it comes across very obviously like that was a man who was like, that's not really what I want, but that's what I feel like I have to do for this marriage to not have a breakdown. And so then after that, like that goes on for 4.5 years, which is pretty savage if you're not totally into somebody else banging your wife. And then like then skipping ahead, obviously Jada Pinkett Smith's like, I have alopecia and I'm embracing it. I'm going to shave my head. And she goes to the Oscars, shaved head, Chris Rock, who don't even know if he knew that she has alopecia.
Oh, he did.
Oh, right.
That's what the joke was about.
Oh, no, I mean, like, I was like, does he know or is it just because she's got a shaved head now? But either way, whatever. Like, he makes a joke about G.I. Jane 2 and it's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah, you can be like, it's insensitive. Maybe you can be like, I didn't find that particularly funny. But like, in a world where we constantly talk about people getting cancelled for jokes and like people losing their mind about jokes, he got punched in the face or slapped in the face for making a joke. Like, that's not really very okay.
I was about to say reading. I was on TikTok. And I saw this lady who made a really interesting point. She was like, there is something about when celebrities are like mentally not doing well, we turn it into this like circus and it's literally the same as people paying to go into Bedlam. Like when Charlie Sheen was having a very, very public breakdown, no one was like,
oh no,
he needs help. No. They were like, look at the funny man being ridiculous. And like, I do sort of like, no, I don't think you should have hit him. But like, I was watching it and I was like, oh, maybe you're not doing so well, Will Smith.
Oh, no, Will Smith's not doing well at all. I absolutely think that's the crux of the whole issue. But I think the problem was, it's like he hit Chris Rock in front of millions of people. So clearly, like, okay, you can be like, I didn't like the joke. But I think the point that Dr. Grande makes on this, which I was watching this morning, was a really good point, that he was basically saying that obviously Will Smith isn't doing good, because if you are living that close to the edge, that one bad joke makes you physically assault another person, you're not okay. And I think that absolutely the bottom line takeaway of this entire thing is that somebody needs to get Will Smith some help, because that man is not all right. Like, he hits I mean, imagine if you are able to lose control of your emotions to the extent that even the knowledge that millions of people are watching and you are in a room surrounded by your peers and filled with video cameras and you still did that, you're not somebody who is totally a-okay right now. I think the challenge was that somebody needs to help Will Smith. That is a given. The challenge was that then nobody kind of did anything in that moment. He just went and sat back down and then everyone was just like, let's just not like remove him from the situation because like, he just physically assaulted somebody.
Right. I think like one of the reasons that I thought it was staged, I don't think that anymore, but like one of the reasons I thought it was staged, I was like, this is the Oscars. Is there no security? Can you literally just walk up and smack someone in the face at the Oscars?
That's the thing that was really shocking, is that it was like, you just let him stay there. And then he was went up and accepted his award.
Yeah.
And then some people came in a standing ovation. I was like, I don't
Venus think... and Serena looked very unimpressed though. Oh, that was pretty funny.
I know. I was like, go hit him, Venus. But no, it just, the whole thing was incredibly uncomfortable and it felt like nobody intervened, nobody did anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, the people who were kind of like on his side on Twitter about it, being like, he's defending his wife. I was like, that's some toxic masculinity right there. Being like, him defending his wife by punching another man in the face who made a joke. It's probably not what we want to be celebrating, I'd say. That man needs help. There's no doubt in my mind. And I think Dr. Grande also makes very good points about what might be going on. He's obviously like, I'm not trying to diagnose him. I think he clearly needs to get some help. But he clearly has a very, in his words, an immature and overzealous relationship with his wife. And Dr. Grande says that the thinking behind that is possibly because, obviously, stemming from the other relationship, the entanglements. And basically, I'd never heard of this theory before, but he says that, if you don't know who Dr. Grande is, he's a fantastic YouTube psychologist who you should go watch immediately. And he was basically saying that when people have affairs, they typically tend to pick somebody, and we're talking about hetero affairs here. When people have affairs, they typically tend to pick somebody to have the affair with who is like a ultra kind of in their mind stereotypical version of a gender ideal. So when women tend to have affairs on their husband, they typically tend to pick somebody that they think is hyper masculine, etc. Or like indirect directly sort of like competition with the man that they were with. And when men do it, they typically pick women who are younger, who are perceived to be more physically femininely beautiful or whatever. And he was saying that Jada picking August, who was a musician who was considerably younger than Will Smith,
neck tattoo
that would have basically caused some of the issues for Will about his own sort of place in their family and his role as a protector, and also just feeling pretty inadequate based on those things. So obviously it's not like that's the reason people get cheated on all the time and they don't like totally lose their shit, but I think Will Smith needs some help. And I think it was the shouting after as well, when he sat down and he carried on. And the worst thing is, not the worst thing, a part of it is when you watch the scene, he laughs at first.
Oh, yeah.
At the joke. And then he looks to see Jada's not laughing. And then that's when he goes. And I think it's just so, oh, it's so painful. So embarrassing. So, yeah, I like absolutely, you know, I think the bottom line is that he needs help. But but it was just the awkwardness of people giving him a standing ovation after him being like,
I mean, just no one knows what's going on anymore. Nobody knows what the right thing to do is. Like, nobody knows what's going to get you cancelled and what's going to get you like lauded.
But the problem is those Hollywood celebrities like to pretend like they are the most wokest woke of all. And I'm just like, He just hit someone.
Yeah.
He just hit somebody and you're clapping.
On live television.
A standing ovation. Like, it's a bit awkward. It's a bit awkward. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not great. But anyway, that was all really I had to say about the whole thing.
I did
thing.
See a particularly funny tweet that was like, oh, if that's how angry Will Smith is in March, imagine him in August.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Traditional banking sucks. A bunch of penny pushers with their ties done up to 11, charging you for accessing your own money? No thanks. That's why Chime is changing the way Americans think about banking. They offer fee-free rewarding banking and actually give you something in return for your money, rather than charging you to even look at it. They don't charge overdraft fees or monthly fees, and they have hundreds of free ATMs so you don't have to pay to physically touch your own money. In other words, it's built for you, not the one percenters. Plus, you get 5% cash back on Chime Card on a category of your choice. They even offer a really great savings rate of 3.75% APY. That's 9 times the national average. In fact, Chime members can benefit from over $1,000 of annual rewards fee-free. Friends in the US have told me they've never felt more in control of their paychecks. And who wouldn't want that? Honestly, guys, all of our American friends and most of our American listeners are already using Chime. And so should you. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/redhanded. That's chime.com/redhanded. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on the J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Recently, I've been trying to be a bit more intentional about what I wear day to day. Nothing crazy, but, you know, just trying not to look an absolute mess every time we record. And so I need some pieces that go together and are comfortable for all of our long recording sessions. And on this new mission, Quince has become the key. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything just works without overthinking it. Quince makes it easy to refresh your everyday this spring with pieces that feel as good as they look. That's because they use premium materials like 100% European linen, organic cotton, and ultra-soft denim. Their lightweight linen pants, dresses, and tops start at just $30 and are effortless, breathable, and easy to wear on repeat. And everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they work directly with ethical factories that cut out the middleman. So you're paying for quality and craftsmanship, not brand markup. Personally, I've been really impressed with the denim pieces that they've sent over. And we all know that denim can be hit and miss, especially when it's at an affordable price point. It's either too thin or scratchy, or it's not even denim. But when I tried on a pair of jeans from Quince, I was so shocked by the quality I had to double check the price tag. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/redhanded for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/redhanded for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/redhanded.
So that was a theme, a themed. And now I've just got a straight up blast from the past for mine.
Yes.
We've never actually covered her on the show.
I know who it is.
Sherry Papini.
Yes. I know you hate her. You're just like, I just don't give a fuck.
I just don't care. I'm sorry. Like, I know I should.
Yeah.
But it's one of those cases where I'm just like,
I know.
Couldn't care less.
I'm quite interested because she's just got such a punchable face.
Really, I think we're in agreement in general, I just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
Like, I know that if we covered it, I would just get so annoyed that it would probably take me about a week to recover. Anyway, so that we're doing it in the news instead. So let's refresh our memories, shall we? On the 2nd of November 2016, Keith Papini was on his way home from work. He was looking forward to chilling out with his family, but when he got back to his home in Redding, California, the place was empty. And that was weird because his wife, Sherry, was normally at home with the kids by now. And he rang the daycare and he was told that nobody had ever gone to pick up the children.
Dun, dun, dun.
He was getting more worried by the second. And he tracked Sherry's phone using the Find My iPhone app, which is so useful.
I know.
I'm going to get one of those ones you can put on your keys. Anyway, it showed that Sherry's phone, if not Sherry herself, were at an intersection between two roads just less than a mile away from their home. He got there as fast as he could and he found his wife's phone, but no wife.
That's not the thing he was looking for.
No. He's been bamboozled. He rang 911 and made a missing persons report.
That is, I would argue, the one foible of the Find My iPhone app.
Yeah.
But she's not here.
I mean, I'm usually glued to my eye. Honestly, I cannot wait till my phone is just a chip in my arm. I cannot wait. Like, just give it to me now.
No. Even the Apple Watch notifications are
stressing you out. Yeah. You can turn them off.
That's good.
I just don't. So police turn up, which is what generally happens when you call 911, and they comb the area tirelessly. Search and rescue teams all over the place, but nobody could find Sherry. So there was a $10,000 reward posted all over the place. And after a few days, Sherry's family added another $40,000 to this prize money. Can you call it prize money?
Prize money.
What's it called?
Reward money.
What's it called when you have a hostage and you're asking for... There's a special word.
Payoff?
No. Ransom.
Ransom, yes.
The opposite of ransom.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know whether like...
You found a... You hit the jackpot. Yeah,
my
the ransom
brain
jackpot.
Is just... I'm losing words it's so much just, at the moment.
Just very tired.
I'm just a bit worried my brain's dying. No, anyway.
We need that.
I know, we really do. But so, the ransom, reverse ransom money made no good. No...
Made no good. Made no good difference.
didn't matter. Because Sherry still nowhere to be found. 3 weeks, still no sign of her. Until the 24th of November, which was 22 whole days after she'd gone missing. At around 4:30 a.m., someone reported having seen Sherry Bapini walking along an interstate road, roughly 150 miles from her hometown. Police picked her up, took her to hospital, and she was reunited with her husband. Later that day, Sherry told the police what happened to her. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. She claimed that two Hispanic women wearing bandanas over their faces had threatened her with a gun and kidnapped her while she was out running. She said that these women had held her captive for the last 22 days and that one of the women had bound her and left her on the side of the road so she could be found by law enforcement.
It's kind of a bit like an inverse Jussie Smollett.
You know what? Yes, kind of. 5 days after Bapini made this statement, her husband went on Good Morning America to speak about his wife's injuries. Never go on Good Morning America. No, it never ends well.
No, anyone on Good Morning America is lying.
The only good thing that's happened on Good Morning America is when Russell Brand went on there and just skewered every single one of the presenters. If you haven't watched it, it's so funny.
I haven't watched
Oh
that.
My God, it's so funny. Oh, like, they just don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like... He's just the king of thinking on his feet. So he just completely takes over the whole set and ends up presenting Good Morning America for like the rest of the segment because they
Good
all
for
just...
for you, Russell.
Honestly, I know problematic at times, but like sometimes he's just a genius.
Oh yeah. No, I'm here for Russell. I feel him.
I'll find it for you afterwards. You're going to love it. He's like, isn't this your job? Yeah. Aren't you supposed to be doing this? anyway, so Good Morning America. He spoke about what happened to his wife and said that she'd been starved, beaten, and branded by her captors.
Oh, for God's sake.
He also talked about how her signature long blonde hair had been chopped off and she'd been held with chains around her wrists and waist and placed with a bag over her head. The next day, detectives revealed that Shelley's abductors had actually branded her with a message. But what that message was, we've never found out. Oh. It's never been revealed.
She never showed anybody.
It didn't happen.
Oh, that's interesting.
This... Sherry said, was so that she could be trafficked by her abductors, like some sort of cattle branding, one would argue, maybe.
I also watched quite an interesting little, expose is a strong word, an interesting little bit about somebody analysing this, like a law enforcement person analysing this. And they were like, firstly, like if you're going to traffic people, you're not going to beat them up in the face and you're not going to cut their hair off and you're not going to like brand them because you don't want to damage... For one, like, I'm not trying to be crass, but this is what they say. You don't want to damage what is through your eyes, the goods, the merch.
And also, if you're branding, presumably that brand is associated to you in some way.
Exactly.
And if you're human trafficking...
What's the point?
You don't want anything to be found, like, threaded back
it
to you, do you?
It's not a cult. You're not getting people to join your cult.
Yeah. So if you can't tell by the tone of our voice, we don't believe her. Anyway, They also released descriptions of the perpetrators, according to Sherry. And one woman was young with long curly hair and had pierced ears, while the other was older, who had straighter grey and black hair. Not massively vivid descriptions, and probably as a direct result of Sherry Papini being a big fat liar, the case went cold for the next 4 years.
4 years. This feels like it just happened.
I know. Until 2020, right? Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, police ran DNA tests on Papini's clothes, and that led them to James Reyes, who was Sherry's childhood sweetheart. Mm. And she'd previously been engaged to him.
What? Mm. I didn't know this.
Well, welcome to In the News.
I didn't keep up with...
welcome to In the News.
I didn't keep up with this story. I didn't know that.
We were quite busy in 2020.
Why did they wait 4 years to test her clothes for DNA? It's not like it was in the 80s.
Maybe they
wait
just got sick of her.
DNA to be found.
Like, get out of precinct, Sherry. We're fucking done with your shit.
Take your fucking clothes. Yeah. We don't even want a DNA test them.
Okay. So the police tracked down Reyes and they talked to him on the 10th of August, 2020. Mm-hmm. And they quickly learned the shocking truth behind what really happened to Sherry Papini. Reyes told the police that Sherry had not been kidnapped at all.
They were having an affair.
She'd been at his apartment the time.
No!
Yes.
Oh my God, no way! Mm-hmm. I did not know this.
Yep, well, welcome to the news.
Fucking hell.
James explained how he and Papini had been exchanging flirty texts for a few weeks before she... Yep.
Sorry, I'm full of questions.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Bubbling with questions.
I won't be able to answer any of them, but just try.
Let's put them out there.
Okay.
So the husband, yep. I always thought he was in on it, like in on the fake kidnapping scam. So if she was having an affair with this guy Reyes, the husband wasn't in on it. He genuinely just thought his wife had been abducted.
Well.
Maybe I'll just let you continue. Let's find out, shall we?
So apparently, yes. Papini, after a few weeks of sexy messages with her childhood beau.
This little fucking bitch, man.
She tells Reyes that Keith is abusing her.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yep. And she wanted to get away from him, and that's why Reyes said that she could go and stay with him.
White knight syndrome.
Exactly.
But damsel in distress, help me.
He went on to tell the police that shit really got weird when Sherry began starving herself and asking him to beat her up. He refused to hit her, but he did buy her a wood-burning tool from a shop called Hobby Lobby and helped her use it to brand her arm.
No.
Hobby Lobby.
No.
At the center of every crime.
Hobby Lobby. It's quite a good name, though.
It is an excellent name.
We only have Hobby Craft. Hobby Lobby is better.
Hobby Lobby is much better, yeah.
Also, this guy, like, I was a bit concerned.
Mm.
But not that concerned that you didn't not go get her a branding tool from Hobby Lobby.
Okay, not to sound like a heinous bitch, but it's who I am. Mm. If you're in a relationship with Sherry Papini, you've probably got a few screws loose anyway. I don't think we should be looking to him for a normal person would have done under these circumstances.
This whole thing is so unbelievable. How have we not done this as a main feed? I mean, I hate her.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, maybe it would be quite funny because I didn't know all these developments. I thought she was just fucking lying to like try get on like
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. Yeah. Oh my God. So this guy like must know she has kids, right? Because
yeah.
In this day and age, yeah, obviously. Yeah. And she's like, I'm a super mom.
Yeah.
And like posting her kids all over the internet. So he's just like, she's got kids at home. Mm. She's got a husband at home. Yes. She says that he's abusing her, but she just left her kids with him and she's here and she's not eating. She's beating herself up and she made me go buy her this branding kit from Hobby Lobby. And he's just fine.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Just so we're all on the same page. I also just like saying Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. So obviously this is a pretty high profile case because of Keith being on Good Morning America, obviously. So when Reyes came out with his story, even though there was a whole ass pandemic going on, people were pretty pissed off.
And this week on Things People Are Angry About, it's brought to you by Hobby Lobby.
And they're annoyed because Sherry had actually got a lot of money from friends and family because they all thought she'd been abducted and trafficked.
Oh my God.
Actually, she was just shacked up with her boyfriend.
This is outrageous. Mm-hmm. this is way worse than I thought it was.
And also the state have estimated that her kidnapping cost $150,000 in taxpayers' money.
Fucking get that money from her.
And also all the police time she's wasted, blah, blah, blah.
I think she should have to go work at Hobby Lobby and pay the government back.
Well, actually, she's been arrested.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Not by Hobby Lobby, by the long arm of the law. Ever since she's been arrested and she's up for fraud charges.
Fucking good.
Yeah, man.
What little skank.
Mail fraud and making false statements to law enforcement. And Reyes is set to testify at trial. It looks like he's kind of got away with it. Not that he did anything, but, you know, whatever. I'm always like, oh, men, throw them in jail.
He was just banging her. Yeah, I don't think Brandon kiss.
He knew what he was getting himself into. apparently a lot of Sherry's ex-boyfriend have described her as a quote attention hungry person. And one of her ex-boyfriends said that she often fabricated stories of being the victim of abuse from her family, her dad, blah blah blah. And there's also evidence that in 2013 when she was 21 and living with her family, she harmed herself and falsely tried to blame it on her mom. No.
Do you know what, I think Reyes is actually very lucky that she didn't fucking kill him,
because
I think, not to be hyperbolic, but like we've seen this pattern before.
Yes, yeah.
She is going to end up, if she had carried on, she would have ended up killing somebody and saying that she did it like in self-defense or something.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit, man.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's out on bail, apparently, but we'll see what happens at trial.
Well.
Yeah, curveball.
That is a shocker. Well.
And that's in the news.
I'm speechless.
That's all we've got.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I mean, not for anyone involved, but for us.
For us, we had a nice time.
Well, there you go, guys. That is in the news for the month of March.
Yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed that. And I can't remember. Oh, you've already had your bonus episode this month. Listen to that.
Be quiet.
Be quiet. And we'll be back next month with some more content.
Hooray!
If you enjoyed that, then head on over to patreon.com/redhanded. That's PATREON, because I've seen some of you spelling it wrong, .com/redhanded. Take a look at the tiers that we offer. Take a look at all the delicious content you get. Pick your favorite tier, sign up, sit back and relax, and let us do all the hard work.